Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 236, episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah!
It's a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and it is Thursday, May 12th, 2022. What does that mean?
May
10th. May 12th.
May 12th? May the 12th
where
be
am
with
I?
You.
Who am
it's
I?
It's National Fibromyalgia Awareness Day. It's okay. Also National Odometer Day.
Yes.
National finally. Limerick Day.
Limerick Day?
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Hit me with an improvised limerick.
Oh, Rick. Man. There once was a man from Nantucket.
There he is.
Who had a shirt so long he couldn't tuck it.
Uh-huh.
And he said with a grin as he wiped off his chin, if my shirt was a blouse, I could tuck it. There it is. So
boom.
That was a great limerick. Thank
and
you so much.
And that's why we love limericks.
Yeah.
My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. You've got to pick up every switch. You got to pick up every switch. Nintendo about to make it rich. Mm. Oh no. Must be the season of the Switch. Yeah. That is courtesy of Ramen King, a song called Season of the Witch by Donovan. And, you know, a reference to the fact that not only do I play Switch, I pick up everyone. What, you know, The Switch shelves stay bare because of me.
Yeah, and you told me, you said, you know, you can buy physical media, but, you know, load up on those 512 gigabyte SD cards, man, because that's where a lot of your media is going to live. I was like, yeah, that's a good point, Jack.
Man, I can't believe you remembered what I said to you word for word about the 512.
You said, this is what you're going to do. You're going to buy 256 gigs, and then that's not going to be enough. And then you're going to go to 400, and then that's not going to be enough. When you should have just bought 512s from the jump.
I wish I was ever confident and competent enough to say the phrase, this is what you're going to do to somebody. I think I probably was that confident while drunk at one point in my life, but I've never.
You know when you've been that confident? When you talk about reheating pizza slices.
Yeah, that's true.
You were like, here's what you do. And I was like, go on. You get a pan hot. Get a little drip of water. Cover it.
Water comes in after a minute, Miles. Mislead the people.
You gotta
get it hot and crispy first. Then you put a drip of water on, and that fluffs the crust up right at the end.
Confidence back.
And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
It kind of feels like I lost all my money on these fucking NFTs. I kind of feel like I got no more money fucking with cryptocurrency.
Damn. Oof. It hurts. And yet it feels so bad.
Honestly, it's bad. I've been looking at some of, I've been lurking on some of these websites and
the exchanges.
It's grim. Like, a lot of people have lost a lot of money. And that's when you're like, oh God, man, these poor fucking people who are like, I put my whole 401k into this. You're like,
Oh no.
And now Fidelity's out here trying to be like, we want to have crypto be part of our 401k portfolios. You're like, no, the fuck you don't.
The password is Fidelity. Yeah. Well, you know, the one silver lining is, of course, that the crypto crash, the NFT Ponzi scheme that we're all living through, will create some great art. Like, people just who are hurt, who are going through it, it's going to create some great art. Just like,
you think there's going to be NFTs? There's going to be NFTs of people's panicked tweets to be like, dude, you want to buy these ones where they thought NFTs were bust. You want that one now.
Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a hilarious comedian, one of our favorite guests on TDZ. Dave Grohl once touched her arm and said, hey, you're pretty funny. You can see her on stages everywhere from California to London, Berlin, Singapore. It's Lydia Popovich!
Lydia! You better motherfucking believe it. I am here. I am in the house. I killed a tick that was trying to bite my leg less than 25 minutes ago because I'm a fucking savage out here in the streets.
In the woods of Tennessee.
Yeah, if you didn't know, bug season in the South is real.
Really?
Yes.
It's really real. Like,
wait, how do you fight a tick? Because usually, in my mind, ticks are only things you encounter when you go on a hike or some shit, because I'm so concrete.
This bold motherfucker, I took the dog outside, play a little ball, throw around in the grass in the front yard, you know, in the down front yard. Come back in, of course, I tell her she's a very good girl and that she's perfect and I love her and she's a beautiful little angel, and I kiss her face and I hug her and I ruffle her little ears. And then I sat down at my desk and then I was like, I feel like something's crawling on my face. And then I see something on my glasses and then I'm like, there's something on my glasses. And then I take my glasses off. This bold motherfucking tick jumped off my dog, had the audacity to jump onto my motherfucking face. Sorry with all the motherfuckers, but this motherfucker jumped on my face. And then I saw him climbing on my glasses. So I threw my glasses on my desk and he jumped off my glasses. And then I had matches on my desk because I smoke weed. And I lit a motherfucking match and then I burnt that bitch because they don't, like, you can try to squish them, but like they just don't squish. Like, people don't realize that ticks are like, they're like little tanks. They're like cockroaches where you really got to fucking want to kill them. Wow. But that's how you get them. If they burn into your skin, you kind of got to burn them out.
I know that one. Yeah, use the matchstick to get them to give up on it. Wow.
Yeah, okay. So I burnt that bitch on my desk and was just like, I was horrified because I was like, it was on my face.
Yeah.
And then I stripped off all of my clothes and changed my clothes before we started this podcast because I was like, I could be covered in ticks right now.
Right.
I know it's because I kissed her and it jumped off of her and she has meds. So she'll be all
right.
But still, these ticks.
Gotta get those tick meds. Gotta start taking your dog's tick medication.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, we've had people out here and the last two house guests have called us afterwards. I'm like, yeah, I picked three ticks off my body. And I'm like, well, I told you to wear long pants.
Yeah.
Right.
Because we stop log rolling in the tall grass.
Yeah. And I'm like, if we're going to go shooting and we're going to go, the range is out in the woods. So it's like, you're going to get some stragglers. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But my dumb ass was out there also in shorts and a tank top because I'm an idiot. So it's kind of my fault, too.
That's that Cali in you. Thought you were safe out there.
Really? I was like, it's the short grass. You know, it'll be fine. Nope, not fine.
I got a question. What's the end game for ticks? So they burrow in. They stick their whole fucking head under your skin. And that, isn't that the thing? That's why you need to be so careful pulling them out is because their whole head will come off if you...
What the fuck are you thinking, Tick?
I feel like they're the deadbeat dudes of the insect world. Right. They show up and they seem cool and they're all beefy and they're like, yeah, man, I just need to spend the night at your house or take a shower or whatever. And the next thing you know, they've burrowed their fucking head into your couch and they never leave until they die or you get them out. I think they're users. They just suck blood and then they suck so much blood they explode.
They turn into grape-sized ticks. And then what do they do? They go back they roll home and are just worthless for the rest.
Yeah. So they take that Do they take the blood back to their family and just like, like all over it? And then it's just like fucking Carrie in a tick living room? I don't know.
Right.
Mosquitoes at least are efficient. You know, they get in, they get out. You don't just like turn your arm and like there's been one there for like a week and it's like 5 pounds.
And then you're like, they need the blood for the babies. Because it's typically the females that bite, right? On mosquitoes?
I don't know, man. What if they're trying to lay eggs in us? Do ticks lay eggs in you?
I don't think so. Because I feel like I would have heard of that.
Right?
Like spiders do. Famously.
Yeah.
And one girl was taking a shower one time. And, we all know what happened. She scratched a little bump and baby spiders came pouring out.
I would cut off my fucking arm. Yeah. I would just be like, and we're done with this arm. Yeah. I don't need it anymore.
No,
Could you take it off, please? Forever. No. I will rock that stump.
No bouncing back from that.
Spiders were in there. I can't. Yeah. We're never doing this again.
Got to ask you, Lydia, what did you think of your goddess, Dolly Parton's announcement about Taco Bell, the Mexican pizza musical? How do you look at that from your perspective? What's going on there?
She's the queen, dude. This bitch is so fucking smart. Like, honestly, like, that was when the Mexican pizza came back. I was like, you can't tell me she's not a walking saint on this earth. Like, we've all been missing that pizza. I fucking love that Mexican pizza. I don't even like Taco Bell, but I go there to get the Mexican pizza. Like, when I heard it was going away, I went and got my last one and fucking cried in that goddamn parking lot. And then I saw her talking about it in an interview. All that woman had to mention it in an interview was just casually, I like the Mexican pizza. And guess what came back? The motherfucking Mexican pizza. So, yes, we need a musical to rejoice this. Like, let us all sing together. Okay. We are the world.
My
yes.
question, is this genius business tactics, because you can only imagine what that dump truck of cash looked like.
Oh my God.
Or
so
do you think Dolly Parton is doing this because she truly believes in it? And I'm fine either way, because I'm like, get your money.
Honestly,
Dolly.
I think it's money. I think she's like, I think she loves the pizza and thinks it's cute and then was like, probably said no. And then they're like, here's 4 dump trucks full of money. And she's like, oh, I'll sing about a fucking pizza.
Is that lady Mexican pizza?
There's nothing that lady loves more than money and an opportunity to come up with a clever twist of words. So I cannot wait for like what little cute tongue in cheek shit she's going to be singing about Mexican pizza.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be barely tolerable, but I can't wait. Even if it is just for a commercial.
I heard she wrote the entire Mexican pizza musical in 5 minutes.
I believe it.
Isn't that
I bet
the
she wrote it on her nails.
Jolene.
I bet she wrote it. Yeah, she wrote it on the top of the pizza box. Yeah.
right.
Yeah.
She had two crunches of it. Yeah. She's like, ooh, that bite sounds like a melody. Crunch, crunch, crunch. Crunch, crunch, crunch. She's like, print, tape. Yeah.
Starting doing her finger percussion.
Yep, exactly. And she's like, oh, when they're covered in sauce, it's a different sound. Like.
All right, Lydia, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about today. We're talking about Gen Z and the tech savvy fighting back against union-busting companies. We're talking about Susan Collins-ness and just general Republican-ness. We're going to talk about, like, the groomer rhetoric that's coming out of the right is really scary. So I want to talk about like why that's so scary and dangerous, all that, plenty more. But first, Lydia, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Okay, I'm going to be real extra honest today. This is me being very vulnerable. I don't think it's going to surprise anyone, but you know, it's something maybe people wouldn't talk about. I Googled yesterday because I hadn't really done any Googling today, but yesterday I Googled Jesse Williams nude images. Because I saw him on the Twitters and I was like, what's wrong? And then I was like, oh, he's in a play. That means it's good dick. Like, they don't ask you to get naked unless you got good dick. And I never really like, he's not an unattractive man, but like, he's not really my vibe. You know what I mean? Like, he's got those nice light eyes. Like, I'm here for it. That's fine. But would never, you know, I was like, what is he working with? What's going on? It didn't yield any results. But this morning on Twitter, oh, thank you, algorithm. There was somebody that had, you know, that posted, you know, a repost of a repost. So I finally got to see that dick and God damn, is that a good dick? I did not like, it might've been the angle. I don't know, but it was like, I haven't been this excited about seeing a penis that I didn't think I would like since I saw Bobby Cannavale's dick in fucking, God damn it. What was that show? It was like a show I didn't watch forever. And then it's like, he's like a fucking killer. Oh, Boardwalk Empire.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Like Dick Moretti, right?
Yeah. There's like a scene where he's basically like fucking this bitch and like dudes come in to kind of kill him. And he gets up out of the bed, like literally like strokes her down,
Rosetti.
Like pulls out and then fucking just starts blasting guns, kills dude, and he's covered in blood, and he's walking down the hallway, and they're shooting it from the top, so you just kind of see, like, a semi-hard dick just covered in blood, like, in guns, and that's my shit. So I was
covered
like,
in blood and guns.
I was like, just, this is incredible.
His dick is also magnetic. And
yeah, it's all, it has its own gun. It's like, yeah, we got you, buddy. You know, his balls are underneath with six shooters. Oh, it was amazing.
That is a great question you kind of posed, is what comes first when you're casting somebody who's going to show their dick? Like, do they need to have seen the dick first before they bring them in to that role? Is it part of the casting process? Or has there ever been a situation where they cast someone for a role and then they're like, oh, we're going to have to recast here? That is...
See, like here's Harvey where
Keitel
I do...
Like Harvey wasn't originally in the piano?
Right, yeah. It was like, yeah, exactly.
There was no nudity planned and they're like, hold up.
Hold on.
Dog, I'm going to need you just to stay just like that. I should have knocked before I came to the trailer. However, I'm glad I'm here. I think there's a difference between the stage and the screen, right? I think if it's for like a movie or a TV... It's probably like, hey, there's some nudity. Are you comfortable with it? I don't think there's discussion because you can shoot it from angles. You can light it. But on the stage.
Yeah.
On the stage, there's no lies. Right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I mean? You got to have at least something that presents itself. You know what I mean? You can't draw eyeliner in a dick so you can see it from the back of the room. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, there's right. no jumbotron at the play, you know, right. the playhouse.
Yeah.
So I feel like in that case, it's like, do you have the acting chops? Okay, now let's see that dick.
That does it play from the stage?
Does it play from the stage? Yeah, we need to see you. Can you hit your mark, please? Yes,
his dick
now.
Really pops. It really pops.
It does.
On stage.
It just, you know, and it was glistening and it was all wet and shit. It was like fucking Flashdance, but like he was all in like a shower, but just like standing up, just like very bold. And
yeah,
man, it looked great.
There might just be like an attraction thing there where like the right performer will be drawn to that role. And, you know, like you don't have somebody who's like, no, I'd rather... Rather not. Like, what if we didn't do that whole section of the play, you know?
Well, and it's interesting because like he doesn't like carry himself with big dick energy, you know what I mean? And maybe he's just a shower and not a grower. I mean, I don't know how the thing works, but like it's like he was upset. He was like really concerned about like people in the audience taking pictures of his dick, and I'm like, why, bro? And but I'm like, oh, because now your secret's out, you know what I mean?
Right. Jesse Williams was saying though, you're right. He said that before he was going to do that role, he was terrified. But he says, I guess he was on Andy Cohen's
and then
show.
I saw my dick.
He's like, I noted that is what I asked God for. I asked to be terrified. I asked to do something that was scary and challenging and made me earn it and made me feel alive and not comfortable. So, yeah.
I was terrified. I was stressed out. I put my head in my hands and noticed that I had a giant, beautiful dick. And
yeah, I noticed that.
And then I was like, oh, no, we're good. Oh, this is great.
Yeah, they showed me the film and I was like, oh, I do have a great hog. Let's put this on. Let's do this. So, yeah, man, that's my search history. I was just trolling for dicks this morning. I just was like, I got to see this thing. I got to know what the fuss is about. You
Cast
know?
The nets.
What? What is something you think is overrated?
You know, this is controversial because everybody's doing it and they love it. Travel. What are we doing? Why are we going places? Why are we What's even leaving on? Our homes? Like, I'm you know, traveling for comedy again. And I went to L.A. last week and came back. And it's just like, I keep trying. You know what I mean? And it's a lot. You know what I mean? It's a lot. And I know people are like, I want to go to the fucking Maldives and I'm going to go walk in here. And I'm just like, man, I can't even handle like... It just once you get out of the airport, it's okay. But then it's like you're in a whole new city, and then it's like adjusting to the vibe of the city. It's just a lot. But I'm easing back into it. But I'm just not a fan. I don't like to travel like I used to. I really don't.
Is it because you have so like you feel like you're living in a place because you love, you know, you ever since you moved, you've been like, I'm fucking living. Do you think
That's
maybe because you've kind of like found you're vibrating at a new frequency too? So maybe
I
the travel
so.
Bug lessons.
I think so. I do think that has something to do with it because it's like, why would I leave? Like, I'm so comfortable here. Like, I'm so in my element. Like, I love everything that's happening. And then I leave and I'm like, ugh, this sucks. You know, and I come home like, and I'm like, thank God, this is better.
That's going to be so home. I do think, ticks
also,
jump
I
on
think
my face.
Yeah, it's also just like the number of people around. It's just like.
Yeah, on a plane.
People
too many.
Are just so. And now that people aren't wearing masks and shit, it's like really full stupidity and full behaviors have come back. And I'm just like, oh, so we're just like. Fucking gross we're back to like square one, patient zero, disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, have you learned nothing?
Nope.
Like, there was a dude, maskless, fucking raw dog, took his fucking shoes off next to me, was like peeling an egg. I was like, bro, do you have a fucking sack full of tuna? Like, what are you doing?
Like, he's like, I do want some.
Yeah. Another woman was changing her baby on the seat next to her. I was like, bitch, I know that bathroom is small, but like, do you need to need to be a part of this diaper changing? And it was a little boy too. And you know how little boys be fucking popping off. And I was just like, yo, if I get a squirt of piss over this seat, I swear to God, I will pump that baby into the bathroom and fucking push you in there. Like, do not.
Wow.
I've never been more on edge than looking between the seats behind me and seeing a little baby dick and being like, what the fuck is happening? Like,
this ain't the bathroom.
This is not the bathroom, man.
Yeah.
Like, baby fecal matter on a seat. Like, gross. Just everybody's gross.
Hey, but
man,
you know what? This is what the airline is doing to keep you safe. We're sanitizing every surface. Yeah. You're like, do you also know somebody's shit was on this seat?
Are you shampooing the carpet that covers every seat and underneath the seat? Planes are just so gross. It's flight gross. Is also, when was the last time you were on a flight that wasn't like patched to the gills with people?
Never. The only thing, so I'm gonna come out and say this, I used to be a Southwest hater. Like, fuck Southwest. I was like, fuck that Greyhound in the sky, whatever, you know, I'm statused on other airlines. But I've flown Southwest like the last three times I've gone to LA, just because it's been cheaper and everyone else is hiking up their prices. And so I'm just like not paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not realize that Southwest has a whole like flying while fat policy. That's not what they call it, but that's what I call it. Mm. They call it a COS policy. So this is just a hot tip for fatties. If you fly Southwest, when you check in, you can tell them, I want to take advantage of your COS policy, which means that they give you a seat little card to put on the seat next to you to say it so no one can sit there, and they let you pre-board. So that's in front of the A's. So you pre-board with like the grandmas on the wheelchairs, then you get to choose whatever seat you want, and then you put that card next to you, and then no one can sit there.
And a blocker.
So even if it's
down.
A full fucking flight, you get a seat between you. So you are the goddess that has, or the god that has two seats. And then if you're a real one, you try to signal another fatty who doesn't know about it, and you go, hey, bitch, you want to sit here? Because ain't no one sitting in this seat. And then you make a new fat friend, and then you're both happy, and you high five.
Boom.
Did you see the video? Somebody was like doing... Have I talked about this already on the show? The guy who was like, how to make sure nobody sits next to you on a bus or like Southwest flight. And everybody who walks down the aisle, he just like makes eye contact with them, smiles, and then taps the seat next to them.
That's
next
hilarious.
Like, invitingly.
Right, and, that's hilarious.
And everyone's just like, fuck no.
I'm good. I'm
yeah,
so
or like
good
caress
yeah.
the seat that they yeah. sit in, like with yeah. like a finger. Like, ooh. Yeah. Hi. You don't have to
put
just
your arm out like you're just waiting for them to sit down. So you put your arm
eager.
Around them.
Yeah. Doing the yawn. Be like, how about this?
That's so great.
Yeah, my method of just like not looking at anyone and hoping that, you know,
I always used to pretend I was sick because work.
That used to be mine, too.
Yeah. And when I was working in politics, I have to go to Sacramento so much, to the capital, that I got like I had a rhythm getting on a Southwest flight. Yeah, I'd be like this. Oh, man, like I would just do this.
So sick. So sick.
Oh, like just grunting.
Yeah. Ooh, sweating. You're like putting water on your face.
Yeah, unless it was full. People don't want to sit near somebody who's in a middle seat being like,
right.
Oh, I feel terrible. Yeah.
What is something you think is underrated?
All right, man. The Roomba. Mm. I bought a Roomba, one of those vacuum robots.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they've been around for a long time, but I'm like, how hard is it to vacuum for yourself? What's the big deal? Granted, I haven't been a dog owner until this year. And like I've owned cats, and like cats shed like a motherfucker, but I always just was like on top of it, sweeping, whatever. And maybe it's also because now I have a very large house and like the square footage is just overwhelming. But I was literally having breakdowns once a day because I was like, I just swept. What happened? I can't, like, literally losing my mind over keeping my floors clean. And then I bought this fucking Roomba. Holy shit, man. It just gets everything. Like, I set it to go at 8 p.m. every night. It fucking vacuums. It's loud as shit, but I don't care because I wake up to like clean floors. Like, it vacuums up shit that I didn't even know was there. Like, I can sweep and Swiffer my ass off. And it's just like, I feel like there's always dog hair there. But when I empty that little Roomba thing, it's just like chock full of dog hair. And I'm like, okay, so I'm not a psycho. Like, this is an egregious amount of hair. But this thing is just making my life so happy. It's just going around. It's underneath furniture. It's just sucking up all the stuff. And I know it's like super boring, but like, yo, man, shout outs to Roomba.
So this is your first Roomba. Because I've had a Roomba. I had to like set up these like training cones for it to know where it could and couldn't go. It was like complicated. Oh, and then it kept getting stuck under. Yeah. I'm wondering if they finally like figured it
now,
out.
Now, I mean, they gave me basically this like little beacon thing that like you can stick near something to create like a barrier or a wall, or you can like stick it in front of like a pet food bowl and it basically will create like a semicircle arc that it won't go into. But otherwise, like the first time I ran it, it ran for like 5 hours and it basically mapped out my house.
Right.
And it creates a whole map of your house. That's what I was waiting for. And then you can go in and you can basically set the borders for each room. You name the rooms and then you can say, hey, go clean the kitchen. And it just goes to clean the kitchen. Or you can be like, clean everywhere but the laundry room. And it'll go and clean everywhere but the laundry room. So you can like basically specify now. But it's been like 2 weeks and I've been like trying all the different shit to see if I can like confuse it. Like, and it honestly has been going up over all my rugs. It's been going up over like the folded blanket that I use as my dog's place. Like, it's only taken out one cord when I didn't like put the cord up. But like, you do have to like make sure like there's not a dog toy, like, you know, right. There's not like a weird thing.
Yeah.
But other than that, like it's been doing pretty good. Like, it hasn't gotten stuck anywhere yet. When it runs out of like juice, that's the only thing. Like, if it's doing my whole house,
because
my whole house is pretty big, like it'll run out of juice and then it'll plug itself back in and charge. And then like 40 minutes later, you're like, why are you starting again? And it's like, oh, it forgot 12 square feet by the kitchen. And it's
like, I had to take a Union 15. I'll be right back.
And it goes right back to where it left off. It doesn't just start over again. See, that's all right. I should note, I had the Roomba, which was a knockoff version that I picked up at the 99 cent store. But yeah, my experience was not great, but I was probably misusing it.
I heard all the terrible stories forever. And then I finally like broke down, and I mean, you guys will love it, 'cause I know you guys are Costco bros too, but like, it was on sale at Costco and I was just like, Costco online, they shipped it to me. It was like $100 off. I was like, hell yeah, send me that fucking Roomba. I'll try anything. And now I'm like, they have a mop Roomba. And so now I'm like on the precipice. Like, I want to live with this Roomba for a month. And if it still is good, then I'm going to get the mop one, because you can basically sink them. So it sends out vacuum Roomba. And then when vacuum Roomba is done, it sends out the mop. So if I can get that, yo, my life is about to change.
Just have a fleet.
I'm about to like win back so much wine drinking time and weed smoking time at night. Like, I'm just going to be able to like chill and put my feet up on my recliner and be like, yeah, Roomba, get that bitch. Me and Judy are watching
mop
fucking Ozarks.
Roomba.
So yeah, shout outs to the Roomba.
It was always so sad when I would like find it stuck under a piece of furniture, and
I would
like
be devastated,
dead. It felt running out of finding battery. Like a gerbil or something, like you know.
And then I have an honorary underrated also.
Yeah,
like just like a second one is a Long Beach Airport. Have you guys ever flown out of Long Beach Airport?
No. I have on JetBlue when I went to New York a few years ago. Yeah.
Yeah. Did they have like the outdoor lobby there when you were there?
No.
Yo. So they have redone the Long Beach Airport. I'd never been there before, but I guess it just got redone. It's really quiet because who the fuck flies out of Long Beach, right? Yeah. JetBlue isn't there anymore, but Southwest is there. But they have a whole, after TSA, you go through TSA, and then you know how you usually come into like the chaos hall where like everyone's looking for like, where do I go? There's no chaos hall. It's just an open courtyard.
Wow.
Fresh air.
What?
Benches, tables, trees. And then to the left is one side of the terminal and to the right is the other side of the terminal. But like, you can literally spend your whole 2 hours just outside. You don't have to be in the airport.
Love that.
You can be outside in the fucking sun, having a beer, having a wine, having a water, whatever.
Yeah.
And then you walk into the terminal and get on your plane. It was the most relaxing departure. I was like, yo, Long Beach is out of the way, but it might be worth it just to like not have to deal with LAX.
Right. For real. Wow. Okay.
Like, so if you have a flight path that is like workable through Long Beach, I would say try it. It is awesome.
Going to Burbank. Outsourced.
Yo, yeah, I miss Burbank. They canceled the Southwest from Nashville to Burbank, and I'm devastated. They used to have a direct flight, and they don't have it anymore, and it's heartbreaking. But yeah, shout out to Long Beach.
LA innovated in the outdoor malls, the outdoor high schools, according to 90210. I wasn't really, I didn't go to high school out here, but... I hadn't even thought about the outdoor airport. That's amazing.
It's next level, man. It was really like I was actually pleased. I was just like, oh wow, yeah. I will sit in traffic to leave this airport.
Yeah. It's perfect. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often those of us who don't fit into this dumb stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia. And I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
And we're back. And so, you know, the big tech has taken the idea of technological solutions and made us all very suspicious, but there are still some good things being done with technology by the people.
Yeah. Like the last couple months, we've seen story after story about corporate union busting and retaliatory firings for people who are trying to organize their coworkers. But, you know, like in this moment where there's a huge swell of support for organized labor, many people are finding new ways to push back and actually make things difficult for some of these companies. So, you know, they're one of the tactics that have been used from people like you know, pushing back against places like Kroger or Starbucks or Kellogg's, who have been recently in the news for their unsavory business practices. They're saying, you know what we can do? We can spam the fuck out of the job listings when these companies post for, you know, essentially what they're looking for is a professional union buster, like for their company. So this is from Vice talking about in February, Gen Z for Change coder Sophia Angeli says, quote, let's talk about Starbucks. In case you missed it, they fired seven of their Memphis workers who were trying to unionize. They even took it upon themselves to launch an entire anti-union website. But unions are good. They protect workers. A super cool website that my friends and I made that make it easy for you to flood the application pool. Essentially saying like this site will auto generate a ton of applicants using, you know, a script with Python. Quote, it'd be a real shame if people use the website and let Starbucks know unionizing is good and they shouldn't be firing workers who try to unionize, you know, just putting it out there, essentially saying, go to this website, you can spam the fuck out of the thing and it'll basically put their ability to hire someone in like total gridlock by like just overwhelming their inboxes with these applicants. And something similar was even happening more, not necessarily that it was on TikTok and sort of getting younger people to get involved, but the SEIU, they did something where they're using technology to try and A-B test some things. For example, they suspected that Chipotle had, you know, some racial disparities in who they hire for open managerial positions. So what they did was they submitted pairings of names, a white applicant and a black applicant with racially distinctive names. And they guess what they found out when they submitted 624 applications? The black applicants typically did not hear back even close to the rate that these white applicants were hearing back. And so even there, they're using that to sort of support greater arguments, say, based on what we found through this correspondence testing that we were doing is that there are some biased hiring practices. So it's an interesting moment because a lot of labor people who've been studying like labor movements for a while said this is kind of new because technology hasn't been used this way for worker organizing or pushing back against companies. And it's kind of a very different moment than usual.
Yeah, that one's really brilliant because that's the sort of thing that I could see a corporation responding to is like just a very targeted, like, look, we ran this test. You guys failed. It's now in the media. Like, you have to do something. The like gridlock one, I'm a little bit like, because I just feel like the Starbucks finds a way around that or just hires like their kids or, you know, their fail sons or, you know, they can always find a way to hire. But like the one where they like do a targeted experiment publicly that proves that you're fucking racist is like corporations, what, like they have to respond to that. Like they're having a meeting about that shit right now.
Right. But I do think the twofold kind of attack, though, is sort of brilliant because it does take a lot of time and effort to go through applicants and to select ones. Mm-hmm. So like either way, like they're hitting them in the pocketbook, right? The internet is supposed to ease access to applicants. Like, oh, and it's also the internet uses, you know, oh, well, we didn't see them. It's anonymity. Like it's just names. So like being able to spam them with all these and then be able to back it up and say, oh, here, we're also doing this experiment that like, you are racist, to your point, is brilliant to me because it's both. You're going to get them politically and like kind of outward facing and then getting them in the pocketbook is very smart. Super, super cool use of body technology or whatever it's called.
And along the way, too, you know, like with just on social media, it's contributing to just massive support for organized labor in general. You know, like you have younger people in record numbers who are now like, yeah, this is what we need to have some seemingly equitable future. They said the National Labor Relations Board said there was a 60% increase in like workers filing union elections in the last 6 months. So like we're actually seeing measurable increased activity around labor organizing. And they even said this is the Gallup poll showed that this is the highest support since 1965 for unions. It was 68%.
It's really interesting.
And right now, people between the ages of 18 and 34 support unions at a rate of 77%.
That's really interesting. That's actually something that like I've never thought of before, right? Like, are these younger generations aware of the labor movements that have happened in the past? Like, outside of just like, oh, that was the civil rights thing, you know, and it was like, no. Like, are you aware of the literal labor movements? Like, are you aware of like why unions exist? I just feel like maybe some of these younger folks haven't had exposure to this because they've just been like, oh, I have this job. Like, it's just not a thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. And a lot of people are going into more skilled jobs as opposed to just like general labor jobs, which traditionally are supported by unions.
Right.
You know, outside of like, there's a whole labor movement going on in the cannabis movement right now. You know, people trying to unionize, you know, all the folks. And those are all staffed by a lot of young people. It's really interesting to see this, that like maybe some people just, this is their first exposure to unionization and
that
kind of
and
why
I think
it exists.
Like on TikTok, like I'm even learning about the union history from TikTok users too. So there's like a
Yo, that dance must go hard.
Yo, it's wild. My knees are a little too weak to get that low sometimes.
Yeah, but, how many death drops?
Oh, look, I busted the back of my head trying to hit a death drop. Didn't realize how you're supposed to land. I just threw my body to the ground.
You're like, oh,
with
just
a leg
die?
Up.
Okay, yeah.
But yeah, this is, I think, it's just a, like, it's heartening to hear people who have been observing, like, labor movements say, like, typically, workers have been way behind trying to combat union busting because typically companies are so well-funded that it's just a different landscape. But now because of technology, social media, like it's allowing for a lot of, you know, people to experiment with ways to try and expose things or push back. And a lot of this did start, if you remember, was back in Texas when they were talking about like doing the anti-abortion bills. And there was a user who was like, you can, you know, spam that website to try and get people to, you know, it's where it's like, you can report somebody. And they're like, well, how about we flood your website with nonsense?
Yeah.
And then that, you know, they ended up having to shut the website down. So there's a lot of things going on, but it's, you know, this is the way the youth them are getting involved.
Well, I'm happy to hear it. And it's cool to see technology being used for something that actually, you know, not that it's not used for things that are beneficial, but you know what I'm saying? It's cool to see the kids are all right, man.
And tech savvy too. I'm like, man, you want me to do what with Python, a script?
I don't like snakes, dog.
Yeah, like, exactly. Like, hey, I'll pick it. I don't know how to do that other shit though. And so I think we're also seeing is like more people are at a younger age are just getting such diversified skill sets because of like the amount of information that's out. You can like train yourself in so many things if you have the will to do it. So it's interesting to see it all express itself in this way.
Yeah, it's also a nice counterpoint to all the Gen Z's actually fucking conservative, dude. The headlines that like Business Insider is coming through with, and there's that person that MSNBC led on who was like, I'm a pro-life Gen Z-er, and actually the majority of Gen Z.
It was like 8 out of 10 or something that person said.
Yeah, which way to just go. Not true.
Way to go putting that person on TV.
Yeah. All right, let's talk, speaking of the ban on abortion that may be coming our way. So Susan Collins, who has been like kind of a key figure in this whole fight because she was like always the hope that maybe she wouldn't vote for Gorsuch or Kavanaugh or Coney Barrett because she's supposed to be a moderate Republican. So people have been asking her, but you said that you were only voting for them because you thought they would not overturn Roe. And her response is not that she regrets supporting them, but that they lied.
They lied
Imagine.
To me.
Do you believe it?
She said,
I can't.
Quote, if this leaked draft opinion is the final decision and this reporting is accurate, it would be completely inconsistent with what Justice Gorsuch and Justice Kavanaugh said in their hearings and in our meetings in my office. She claims, she's always been saying, they told me that Roe was settled law, that it was precedent, that's done and dusted.
Hmm.
Meanwhile, Chuck Schumer was saying things at the same time. He said, when I spoke to Brett Kavanaugh, he wouldn't answer yes to the question of whether Roe was settled law when I asked him.
Hmm.
So he made it clear to me where he was at, and he lied to your little naive ass, saying, oh, yeah, that's settled. That's settled, man. So I got your vote. Good. Watch this shit now. It's a very, you know, it's disheartening. Well, I don't know if it's disheartening because every time, like, it would come down to Murkowski and Collins and like, or can they? Will they figure out that these are bad people to put on the bench? And they never did. So now she's dealing with a little bit of a fallout. People are upset, obviously, at what, you know, this leaked opinion is indicating. And in a horrific display of partisan terrorism, Susan Collins woke up to her something written on her sidewalk in front of her home in colored chalk.
And it's
very threatening, Miles. It's very threatening. Don't.
If I say this out loud, I don't want the Secret Service coming for me.
Right.
But I'm going to say it because I'm a fucking rebel.
Just, you know, get
ready. Turn this down. Turn this down if you have people around you that you can't hear.
Okay. You're about to be, your heart rate's going to speed up a little bit.
And Justin, you might have to bleep this out just to protect me, but I'm going to say it because we're brave here. It said, quote, "Susie, please. Mainers want WHPA, which is the Women's Healthcare Protection Act. Vote yes. Clean up your mess." Oh, my God.
And it was written in menacing chalk.
Yes. And I do want to point out that the dot above the eye is a tiny uterus.
Yes.
So this is very threatening. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not only block letters, you know what I mean? And multiple colors of chalk. Mm-hmm. There's an additional iconographic.
Yeah.
This is threatening. This is very threatening.
Using such an informal way to address a senator?
Can
for real? Even. Are you trying to set my house on fire with that talk? What is going on? So, you know, she did what any responsible white woman would do in this situation. Called the police. So she called the police and said, "There's something awful outside my house."
Can you connect, they showed up. Collect DNA samples? How do we get to the bottom of this?
They tried. The cops showed up and they said, "All right." And they left. A city sanitation worker came and just power washed it off. And then the comment from the police was, "This wasn't an overtly threatening message." So
I just
like the mental space of this person, right? To know that when you're out here being like, "I'm convinced this person's going to take away your rights," even if you maybe believe it or really don't believe it, and then seeing the fallout from your behavior and then being like, "This is awful. This is terrible. What's going on?" Like the disconnect there with what your vote means is really wild.
Let's also talk about the white woman in her neighborhood. Fucking chalk, bitch. Make a sign. Cover her fucking yard in signs. Take a shit on her porch. Put a fucking paper flag in it that's shaped like a uterus and be like, "Bitch, what? I'm gonna have all my unwanted children on your motherfucking front lawn. Vote yes." Like,
right.
I think we need to be a lot louder about this. I'm just like, this little cute little fucking sidewalk drawing. Get out of here, bitch. Get out of here.
Susie, please.
Please.
Clean up your mess.
Are you kidding me?
Oh my God.
Susie, comma, please.
Susie, that's a threat, please. Jack.
Yeah, very, very threatening stuff.
And the tone police are out in full force, you know, still, whether it's this or other people, like Democrats have been like, "I don't know if Brett Kavanaugh deserves to have all this ruckus by his house." You know what I mean? Like, they're already advancing bills to protect Supreme Court justices.
Yeah, yeah. Ugh.
Like, wow, okay. What happened to, like, you know, codifying Roe?
Yeah.
But you're like, no, you don't bring the smoke to a Supreme Court justice's house. No. Because again, they're revealing, it's very clear what they're trying to reveal. They want to maintain the status quo. Now, not necessarily that they're saying we want to protect this overturning of Roe, but they certainly don't want a reality where people are organizing in mass and
You know,
voicing their displeasure, because that's the road to where's the power then at that point?
Also, it's not please or thank you. It's please and thank you. So if they didn't want to be threatening, it should have been Susie, please. Mainers want WHPA, but clean up your mess. Thank you. So clearly this is the work of Al-Qaeda, I would say.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just wild. You know, you have Chris Coons and John Cornyn, a Democrat and a Republican. They're introducing the bill with unanimous support to provide extended security protection for the immediate family members of Supreme Court justices.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not connecting the fucking dots.
Yeah.
But listen, there are.
I mean, they are, but.
Moms with tumblers full of white wine and Sprite and a fucking pocket full of chalk. You know what I mean? It is a dangerous world out here, Miles.
Yeah,
it's dangerous.
Is. No, you're right.
No?
Yeah. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
And we're back. And I want to talk about like what we were just talking about, basically the fact that when somebody writes on someone's sidewalk in chalk or quietly protests at the outside of someone's house and it's protesting a right wing policy being promoted by white Bible thumping men, like the reaction is to protect the Bible thumping men. But on the other hand, I think a trend that is being, this has just kind of been normalized just because it's like one of many pieces of bad news, but the whole like rhetoric coming off of the right that like anybody who talks to children, makes room for children to have questions or even have gender affirming healthcare or, you know, messages around them is a groomer. So this guy, Jack Califano, tweeted last night, "The groomer and pedophile thing are the clearest moment where I've thought, oh, wow, they really are planning on killing a lot of people eventually." Because like if you read about genocides in history, like Rwanda, you know, like modern history. All it takes is like government complicity, which not hard to imagine in 2024 Trump administration, and a source of information that is just like reinforcing this messaging over and over again. And Rwanda was like radio, state radio. But like, I don't know. It's just we're in a really dangerous place, and I don't know how it gets less dangerous before, you know, like we've seen the story of people accosting families with gay parents in public, telling the kids they need to get away from their parents because they're groomers. And in the mainstream, we've seen like the panic over like the quote from a Disney call where they're just talking about spreading acceptance and messaging about like acceptance and diversity in their work. And they've turned that into like they're trying to brainwash our kids and like groom them to like victimize them sexually. I don't know. It like that tweet really like struck me as like actually true and kind of like something we should be thinking about more, and not to be like we need to be like terrified, but this is a very like dangerous undercurrent that's only getting like louder and more surface level, I feel like.
I think people should be more terrified.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's terrifying overall because this is also a smokescreen for coming from real pedophiles.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, let's really look at this even further. This is a complete, you know, this is a tactic in a group of people that we know are involved in trafficking and sex rings with children. And now that's like, you know, to kind of reapply and to sort of project this onto, you know, the gay population and to try to use sort of the widespreadness of us trying to like understand more and to try to be accepting of trans people of all ages, right? You know, this is a scary time and we should not be going backwards and forgetting. And like, it sucks because like when you use things like pedophilia, it makes it easier for people to be pedophiles, right? Because people redirect that attention somewhere else. And it's like, meanwhile, there's kids that are being hurt. Like, I don't want to, you know, say that we shouldn't be aware of that because that is a real problem. But like, it's such a slippery slope to move in to be like, no, now let's just kill all gay people because gay people are the reason why pedophilia exists. Mm-hmm. And that's they're not the same thing. They're totally mutually exclusive.
The conflation is precisely what they're going for. And
correct.
I mean, you just even look right. Cause for all the talk of like, you know, you're going to have to vote your way out of this or whatever. I mean, do you look at the maps and how gerrymandered there are? It's most political forecasters like, I don't know how the fuck the Democrats are going to get a real majority in the Senate again. If you look at how these maps are going, how the gerrymandering works, the voter suppression, that are they even thinking about it from their perspective, too? It's like the deck is getting stacked increasingly.
Yes.
And it's the chances of like being able to turn over politicians at a high rate is not very realistic. And I think the other thing that people don't realize, too, is how gridlocked state houses are, too, especially in red states. It's very difficult. So I think I think this is just something that generally deserves more awareness, because like we're saying, even with this, with how Alito is talking about this decision, the logic is almost it's basically boiling down to, if it's not literally in the Constitution, it's not a right.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Yeah.
So that leads to gay marriage, that leads to contraception, that leads to so many other things like that. Now, some states aren't going to do it the way, you know, like everyone. But like we touched on yesterday or the day before, how this could also lead to like intrastate legal battles about trying to extradite people, like to say this doctor gave abortion care to this person from the state where it's illegal. Now I want to charge you with attempted murder or something like that. That is another quagmire that is, you know, on the horizon as well, with as things get more litigious and fraught.
And accusations of like child abuse and child murder and things like that are always heavily involved in, you know, the early stages of a buildup to genocide, like the anti-Semitic belief that Jews were ritually murdering children was like a big part of like blood libel, which eventually, you know, led to the Holocaust, you know, and all of this would be like less concerning if we didn't live in a society where right-wing violence is like tolerated and left-wing protesting for human rights is equated with terrorism. Like that is the mainstream response. Like that's, you know, we talked about it with Susan Collins, but there has been so much right-wing extremism, and like the response from the right is to like openly put like screen a documentary where they're like, this is an attack on you, and like something that like amps up the rhetoric. Like Tucker Carlson had that like January 6th like documentary that was basically claiming that any sort of attempt to address right-wing extremism is a like political act by the left, a political act of like attacking. And it's just so dangerous and heading in a more dangerous direction. And there's just like nothing really pushing back on it, you know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, again, why it's even more important to begin looking in your own community and understanding like, you know, those, how mutual aid is works, because it you know, there is a possibility for a positive outcome, but the way leadership is now in this country, it's hard to know that. I mean, there's just this, like, they're so out of touch with everything that's happening. Katie Porter, who's a congresswoman from California, who regularly gives really moving speeches or like interrogates bankers or other people. She, and apparently like in a closed session meeting with other Democrats, she like got really emotional just talking about how expensive, like just literally bacon is at the store, and how many families are looking to be like, holy shit, sandwich bread is like $5.
Yeah.
Like how the fuck do I, now I'm on the search for something that's like under four, or cereals like 7 or 6.5. And she was talking about just her experience as a provider. And the stress she felt of being like, I don't know if I can buy $10 pack of bacon when I go to the store. And apparently she was saying after that, she said it was the first time she saw her colleagues kind of connect with what she was saying. And they said, but this isn't showing that, she said, somebody came up to her, another congressperson, and said, this isn't showing up in the polling. And she said, you're not asking the right fucking question.
Correct.
And that's, correct, I think, so revealing. Is that so many, there's only like a handful of people that are in Congress that are like, man, this shit is so bad for normal people. Like half of y'all are millionaires. Most of y'all are millionaires.
Yeah.
So what the fuck would you know about? Like you would barely bat an eye at a $5 loaf of bread, because the $5 is nothing to you. But if you have a budget and shit's increasing by orders of like 20% at a time, that throws your whole fucking life off. And that's the thing that they're not connecting with, and so many other things that, you know, like every, even like NGOs that are talking about the rise of fascism in the US, they're like, yeah, the way to combat it would be to combat inequality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it. Don't allow the tension people experience to be co-opted by other people's narratives to say, to put fascism and shit in their head and be like, and that's why you're broke.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's so important too, like people on the coasts, you know what I mean? It's so easy because we do make more money, people who live on the coasts, you know what I mean, than the rest of the country. And I think it's so easy to get out of perspective and get so angry about the wrong stuff. You know what I mean? And not that like there's right stuff and wrong stuff, but there kind of is. You know what I mean? Like you need to be aware of what all these decisions are doing and how they're impacting the people that live in the middle and live in other areas. Like being down here,
or even in the cities we're in, you know,
correct.
Shit.
You know, it could be the other side of the city that you don't drive to, that you don't see. You know what I mean? It's like you just need to open your eyes and be aware. Like being down here in the South has definitely like given me a new perspective on everything. You know what I mean? Because there's just such a huge juxtaposition of very, very poor and people who are just like not on the fucking internet. You know what I mean? And just stuff that is a little bit different, but there's such a divide in our country, and it is terrifying. It's terrifying and it's sad.
Yeah. And I think we just need to be able to get over like our philosophy as a nation that needing help is bad, because correct, I think that mentality extends to, you know, men in the just ridiculously high suicide rates and other things. Like there's not a culture of saying you're vulnerable in this country.
Mm.
And that's not okay. Because like, oh, what, you're poor? Okay, how poor are you?
Right.
Right.
Do you deserve this? Like, what the fuck? I said I need help. I said I can't afford food. And now you're means testing this shit? I just need help. And the shame that goes along with that. And I think, and that we're constantly making people feel ashamed of that, rather than saying we need to just embrace people that need help. And that's fine. People need to be more open to say, I mean, not to say people aren't expressing that, but culturally, that's still, we're still not at that point where we can,
that there's not
can
a
be vulnerable
behind it.
Yeah. And we embrace that.
And there's not a full time job's worth of work to get the help, which is currently the way it works.
Right.
That you have to suddenly work 20 hours a week to just manage the insanely understaffed system of the government and government subsidies and help.
And all those offices are only open during the hours that you are at work and your children, you know, are or are not at school. So it's like you have to sacrifice either your own job, your child care, or your child's education in order to facilitate, like you said, getting those services, right? There's some stuff you can't even do online. You got to go in there. You got to show them some piece of paper. You got to, you know, it's terrible. It's like, how you expect someone to work and then you also come in here between 8 and 2 p.m.?
We don't. Okay, cool. And that's how we save money.
That's how the government saves money. Yeah.
And then we can still pat ourselves on the back and say, hey, I signed that bill. That allowed for that. But, you know,
I voted.
Yeah. But we kneecapped that little provision to the point that this is going to do fuck all. Don't worry. Man. But I
you
can
know
tell
who does
people
have
that I'm doing that for
time and money and resources to take advantage of every break the government wants to give them is corporations and rich people. Well, Lydia, such a pleasure having you, as always.
Thanks.
Where
can
people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Sure. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Hater Tuesday. I have a website as well called LydiaPopovich.com. If you are someone who knows how to work Squarespace, fucking email me. I don't like it anymore and I can't figure out how to use it and I need some help. So throw that out, these fucking nerds. Somebody knows the internet. Help me out. I just want to make
Come
it look
on, I bet you. Hey, look.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if any audience can help me,
gang.
It's this audience.
Fuck with Lydia. Like, hit her up. Hater Tuesday. Go.
So yeah, LydiaPopovich.com. I am doing shows this weekend with my best friend and certainly not yours, Marcella Arguello. She and I are at the Comedy Fort in Fort Collins, Colorado on the 13th and the 14th. She is recording her second album. So come through. You'll see me featuring and then you'll see Marcella do a killer hour. Shit. So that's going to be a fucking rad weekend of shows.
Yeah,
so if you're
Colorado.
In the area, yeah,
that's a blessing. Party. Yeah, that's going to be dope.
I'm going to smoke so much good weed. I can't wait because California prices are out of control. We know what's happening in Tennessee. So I'm really looking forward to being in Colorado and seeing what's good, Colorado. Let's hang.
Yeah. Hey, Colorado's Light Gang.
Come out to these shows.
Let Lydia know she's internationally known and locally respected. You know what I mean?
Heck yes. Heck yes.
And Marcella. Let Marcella know. Too. Yeah, show up.
Nah, she doesn't need
man. Marcella flew away. She got so big on us. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Nah, we love so much love for Marcella.
Oh, yeah. Nothing but. Is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
So this is related to the top of the hour tweet. So, you know, I did all that Googling for Jesse Williams. And of course, you give it to the algorithm and you shall receive whether you want to or not. So I got a tweet that fell into my feed that made me laugh so hard. I can only describe it because it's a video. And then you can try to find it. And I won't give the person a shout out who it is because there's like an OnlyFans person and I think they probably do porn and whatever. So the tweet is just the words say this clingy and then it has kind of like a smirky face. And then the video is a girl laying down in a dude's lap just using his dick to scroll her phone and it's fucking hilarious. She's like using it like a... What's it called? Like a
stylus?
Like a pen? Like a stylus, yes. And I'm watching it now. It's so funny. She's swiping up. She's double tapping with the tip. It is very funny. So shout out to that couple because, hey, man, I'm here for it. I love that kind of comfortness in your love together. But it's quite funny. It's just so fucking stupid. Like swiping up with a fucking dick. It's great. Nice looking dick, too.
All right.
Yeah.
Big day for nice looking dicks.
Yeah.
Serious.
Miles, where can people find you? What is the tweet you've been enjoying?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. And also check out the basketball podcast. Miles and Jack got mad boosties. We talk NBA every week with a fantastic guest. Oh, I'm not joking. We're going to have actual legendary players on soon. And I can't even, I'm going to wait for it to happen. And then I will scream from the top of the mountain who we spoke to. But hold on to
We should really hold off on that tease until...
Until it's locked in. Until it's in the can. When it's in the can,
I'm so excited for you.
I will be screaming my head off, and you can only imagine why. Okay, so let's see. A tweet that I like. First one is from Rohita Kadambi. At Rohita Kadambi tweeted, "Hi, I'm Nick Lachey, and this is Netflix's Stanford Prison Experiment."
That was mine.
I just love that. Shout out to, I forget, somebody in Zeitgang tagged me in that. It was Jan. Shout out to Jan for letting me know about that tweet. You were right. I did like that one. There's another one that it says, truly Bradley deeply at Bradapalooza. It's that it's a picture of George W. Bush on 9/11 when he's at that school and his like staffers whispering, like, you know, the World Trade Center's or the Pentagon's being attacked. And he's like got that face. But the caption is, sir, they just pronounced them Chuck and Larry. And then his face is like, huh?
Yeah, those big things happening on that day. Let's see. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. Tweet I've been enjoying, Mr. Meat Scraps, whose name is at Really Loud Fart on Twitter. That's what I read when I started laughing. Tweeted, I'm a 9/11 last responder. I just arrived on the scene today. Looks like it's already been taken care of. And Jason Concepcion tweeted, I hope the Lakers got crypto.com's naming rights money up front. That I literally had that thought myself in the last 24 hours. Is like, wait, so is that still going to be called crypto.com arena next year?
Jack, we called it. We knew. It was happening, I was like, don't worry. That's not going to last that long.
The Crypt?
It'd be like pets.com arena. You know what I mean?
They should just let the actual Crips sponsor it. It'd last longer.
I know. I mean, much longer.
That'd be rad.
And then Colin Dearsing tweeted, Z-Way should moderate a presidential debate, and that needs to happen.
I would love that.
But they won't do it. The Republicans are done with debates.
Yeah. Fuck. I actually don't know who would do worse than that. I feel like.
Oh, my. Dude, honestly, I think the Democrat would.
Yeah, probably. You know, right?
Because they're the exact kind of person who gets tripped up on Z-Way show. Like, an actual racist person. No surprises there.
Yeah.
Somebody pretending.
They're used to getting fucked with. They're like, no, I hate black people.
Exactly.
No, you got it right. I absolutely agree. Right.
Yeah. If it were up to me, like, I would look at, you know, are you from here? Okay, your parents aren't? Okay, well, then you could stay. Your parents, not so much.
Got it. Right.
Wow.
Yeah. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we think you might enjoy. Miles, as we head into the end of this week, when Kendrick's new album is about to be dropped upon us, what are you recommending? What should we use as a amuse-bouche?
Oh man, let's see. You know, Soul to Soul. You know. Okay, well, there's a remix of that by Stro Elliott called Soul to Stro, and it's like a really interesting, like, sort of like remix of some of the vocals chopped up of that song and made into a new beat. And as somebody who loves the opening scene of Belly and just a general fan of R&B music, this is a fantastic rework. So this is Soul to Stro, STRO, by Stro Elliott.
All right. Well, go check that out. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for us this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what is trending, and we will talk to y'all then. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. This is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more. Then every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.